that my reflection on it is very much, it involves me reading it. My reading it to you is very performative, as I'm sure it was for Dan reading it at 9:55 at a VA open hearing on April 10th, 69. And he is quite a performer. But my reading it, I'm realizing I'm reading me reading it. I have to be reading me reading it because it's going through my body, and it's a very visceral experience to be reading this to you. Literally hearing my body voice his text. It makes me feel of my presence in relation to Dan. And I can't respond to his words without really reflecting on him and also my prior relationship to him as a student of his in the early 70s. Remembering him working in a very bodyful way to understand representation and the relationship of private to public, and in a sense, and also his work in the early 70s and in the late 60s, very much being about public to private, self to other self, trying to understand, I think he wouldn't say it this way, but I think trying to understand an embodied self in relation to a speaking self or a visual self. I always thought his work was very much about subjectivity. It was always much more contextualized than conceptual art, and also kind of social discourse of the social politics of the time. The deconstruction was very much kind of an externalizing phenomena. Yeah, the other thing, in reading it back from 69 to me is a very memorable year. And that, for me, that was the year I ran away from home, from Montreal to Vancouver and then to San Francisco. And it was also the year when representation was really blown out for me in attending a performance by Joe Cocker at the Fillmore West in San Francisco. I started really thinking about representation and identity and self and other. When Joe Cocker was playing, I may have been on acid. I don't remember, but I think everybody in that hall was in 69. I was 18 years old, or 17 years old at the time. Behind Joe Cocker, there was a Advent video screen, which one of the first times it was used publicly, and I don't think anybody in the audience had seen one before. And as he was playing live, there was a live video transmission of the then President Nixon introducing the next image, which was Armstrong landing on the moon live. So as we were watching Joe Cocker playing live on the stage, behind them there was another live but flattened out representation of a man landing on the moon. And that really blew me out of this multiple relationship to realities and representation through media. That was really one of the first times I'd thought about that back in 69, this othering of identities and times and space through representation. Dan was very involved, as an artist, was very involved in that discourse and extended it for me. You know, just 2 years after he wrote this, I met him, extended it for me as a very young 21-year-old budding artist at Nova Scotia College of Art and Design. I was introduced to art through conceptual art. That was my first ism. Well, I didn't learn how to paint or draw. I learned about conceptual art first. And Dan was kind of like one of the godfathers of it for me. In reading this from today, I'm also really aware and conscious of the form of his writing, literally the kind of the formal aspect of how he writes and how he thinks, which is very, he starts with naming a problem which seems to have a coded, or not coded, but definable parameters. And he very quickly spins himself out of those parameters into dozens of other variables that are outside the parameters he set out to begin with. So he like spins like in a way from the body out of the body, or from the physical to kind of metaphysicals in how he thinks and writes. And in my reading this, it makes me experience that. I understand that place that he comes from or goes to, and it's very visceral. Okay, so again, I'm formally, I'm very aware of his voice and his mind, how he thinks, and where reading his words put me in my body mind, and then the content, it's close to his, you know, with his content, he starts to name what the problem is, you know, the political problem of how artists are taken advantage of, or artists collude with being taken advantage of by thinking themselves as grandiose visionaries. And play right into a consumer capitalist system, which the art world is only a part of, and it's contextualized by a larger political system, and we're all part of that. And there is no inside outside. It's all kind of, like Z says, a profitable experience. It's life entertainment. What do I think about that? I think it's true. I think there is no inside outside. I think he tries to speak, but he does never names the word responsibility. I think, you know, in 2007, we're at a place where at least those of us who are really looking at these questions and issues aren't looking at questions of responsibility. It's not enough just to be visible and vocal or expressive. You also need to take all the responsibilities that come with that. That it's not for me. It's not just art for art's sake or expression because we're free, a free society to be able to express. It's expression with responsibility. It's kind of like an unnamed thing in his text. You know, it makes me want to extend his text into asking that question. You know, it's like I don't think there's anything wrong with an artist, whether they're a painter or a sculptor or a conceptual artist or a performer or whatever, doing their own work to investigate their own subjectivity. And how are they responsible, not just to what they make, but how they put it out in the world and to the receiver?
Yeah, and it's interesting. Yeah, I mean, to think about how, like you said, like he never really names the word responsibility. You know, he never actually mentions it.
No, never.
And so, what I keep wondering about is why is it easier for us to name this now than it was, say, in 1969?
Well, I think in 69, the politics, you know, the social politics were very. First of all, they were coming out of another era. They were coming out of the Second World War. I mean, it was like, you know, the decade of the 50s was to try and find a center again. And then the 60s was about looking at the periphery. You know, we have the center, now we have to react against the center and look at the edges, which Dan, I think, is very much a part of, or conceptual art was very much a part of. I think we've gone through the 80s, which is like taking advantage of understanding both center and periphery, you know, just appropriating and taking advantage of it. 90s and into now, we're really looking at coming back down to a ground. Where's the ground? It's not about the center or the periphery. It's about something else that it includes and is larger than either of those binaries. I think we're in a time where we're looking at relation. The operative word is relational. What is the relationship between this and that? It's not either is it that or that. Or I am this, or I am that, or you are wrong, or you are right, or you are conceptualist, or you are a painter. You know, it's about what is the relationship between whatever it is, events, objects, people, ideologies, and that implies responsibility. You can't have a relationship without asking the question, what is one's responsibility to the other?
But I also wonder, in terms of the role of the artist. I guess when we conventionally think of the role of the artist, we don't think of that word responsibility.
No, not at all.
Still, like the kind of bohemian, romantic, male, heroic figure, we don't think of responsibility in those terms.
No, you don't. And but I think we, as Dan says in his text, the art world is not separate from the larger culture. Cultural at large is at a state where we will not survive if we don't explore relational responsibility. And art being kind of a microcosm or a subgroup of cultural context, it filters to us too at some point. We are not separate from, we are part of the same thing. And I think this was made very clear and made okay for artists to talk about in a larger way. It was made okay by the last Documenta. What was represented was the notion of collectivity. Art as a collective practice in relation to or in reaction to social condition. So now it's okay for young artists and especially artists in training, you know, in art schools to be looking at those kind of questions. But, you know, it's been in the air for at least in a very subterranean way for a long time. If you ask me, and I'm you know, a middle-aged artist, so I know, for example, I've been practicing both in the museum and setting up centers for homeless youth, started in 92. And to me, it's not either or. I'm an artist that does both. You know, I both work in a collective public way, and I also work in an individual way. I do mind my own subjectivity. And one is totally affected by and in relation to the other. We are individuals and we are collective simultaneously. It's not either or. It's us now in the, you know, in the art world, there seems to be a kind of a war between the two, where art is either real art, whatever that is, of an artist who is consumed by his or her oeuvre and creates objects reflecting their interiority, or art is a practice of collectivity in relation to cultural issues. And it's not either or, it's both. You know? And I know in this text, Dan chastises one in favor of the other. You know, conceptual artists are better than painters.
Yeah, so maybe then it's not so much a question of the form. You know what I mean? It's not like this, so much like this avant-gardist idea that the most progressive form or whatever equals the most progressive politics. I don't think we can make that kind of equation now.
No, I don't think you can either. And to get back to his critique, I think we do have to be very diligent and vigilant about our relationship to, there is a highly structured commodification capitalist market operating for art objects. I don't know what it's going to do with collective practices that don't end up in objects. We'll see what happens because, you know, our market has proved to be able to appropriate anything in the past. I don't know if you saw or know the show Out of Actions. Mocha did way before that a show on conceptual art of 65, I think, to 75. And at that time, you know, the artists that were producing the work and their audiences really believed, like Dan does, that, you know, that was pure art, that the artist really did dematerialize the object. But the exhibition was full of artifacts. I don't think you could ever get rid of the physical, because we live in a physical world. And because we are creatures of representation and reproduction, we reproduce images or representation, things that represent what we do endlessly. I mean, to say that there is a pure form, like Dan is trying to say about conceptual art, I think today doesn't hold up. And he agreed with him too. He says, should art be lever against the establishment, make art dangerous, or should we withhold? Well, I think those two extremes, one is kind of using it as a weapon, and the other is to withhold. One is aggressive and one is passive, but together they're both sides of the same coin, passive-aggressive.
Withholding is more like kind of a boycott or a strike. I mean, I think it's more like that kind of strategy.
Which is also changes what you're reacting towards. I mean, it all has an effect. And it's not about either or as polar opposites either. You know, we're all complicit. We're all in it. We have to learn not to separate ourselves, but that we are always part of the fabric. And how do you name strategy from that perspective? You know, that we are always in relation to the thing we're against. It needs us. It's important to really expand the frame of where does aesthetics begin and where does it end? And does it end? I mean, is it more about one's attitude, you know, or one's how one names things. I'm working with homeless kids. Am I still an artist? Or am I only an artist if I show my work framed under the discourse of art?
Yeah, and that's also ideological, too. You know what I mean? Like the kind of attitude that would say that doing work with homeless kids is not art. You know what I mean? It's to really try to put a boundary in what is considered art and what is not. But I also wonder as well if there's this kind of classist assumption behind it too, like doing work with communities is not high art enough or something like that.
Or as art writers and critics are posing, we can't critique it. It's not within the purview of criticality. We can't say it's good or it's bad. There's no aesthetic values that we've assigned to it that we can then evaluate, you know, as to are you a good artist or a bad artist? Did you do this well or did you do this poorly? Which is interesting. That's an interesting question. You know, I know as a teacher, when I'm asked to critique work, I have to ask myself that question all the time. And or is it more about intentionality? You know, did the artist meet his or her intention well or poorly? And how does it communicate to me? Where am I in it as the receiver? I think those are much more critical questions than does it meet formal criteria of whatever formalism, let's say, or of expressionism, or of whatever the ism is.